Lord, there are some people listening this morning who don't feel like singing. There are things in their relational life that are not right. And you've commissioned me to talk about these things this morning, Lord, and some of them will be difficult. So I'm praying, Lord, go before us. May my words be seasoned with salt, gracious and yet true. And I'm praying, Lord, may we have what you want to give us, which is joy in our hearts, in our homes. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to take on a difficult topic today. I'll be talking about femininity, submission, and male amnesia. Now, there can be female amnesia as well, but I'm not going to address that. Femininity and submission. Well, submission is a very interesting subject, so let's just start with that first, if we could. Take your Bibles and open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's very easy for men to hijack the message of the Bible to suit themselves. And I would like to make sure that's not as easy. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 21. Ephesians 5:21, it says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Now, the dynamic of submission is a big deal in the Bible. God could have forced us into submission, but he didn't do it. Submission is a choice. Submission recognizes structure. When there's structure, if it's God ordained, it's set up for happiness. All things are to be done decently and in order. The next verse, 22, says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." As you read on, it says, "For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water and the word." Goes on to say, nobody ever hated his own flesh, but I'm afraid in some marriages, that's not true. Submission. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, "I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ." In Titus 2:5, it says, "Be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be reviled." Submission. I wasn't very submissive last night to my wife when I should have been. She had made these nice oatmeal patties. And my daughter gave me a gift a Christmas ago, and it's a pillow. And there's a message on the pillow. We have two dogs at home, a Rottweiler and an Australian Shepherd. And I love them both, but I do have a favorite. And everybody knows. And so my daughter got me a pillow that says, "Jackie is my favorite child." And my kids wonder what's happened to me. I think it's pre-grandparental syndrome. Although I don't have any grandkids yet. And I have a bad habit of taking some of the food that was designed for us and sharing it with the dogs. Last night, my wife had made these really good oatmeal patties, and we're going to be eating them for lunch, but she lets us sample on Friday night. So I was sampling. I thought, these are really good. I bet Jackie would like some. So I broke some off and started sharing. Then when the meal was over, I went over and found a few more, and I started breaking them apart and sharing them. My wife said, "Don't feed any more of those to the dog." I don't know if I said okay or not, but I left that area, and as I was walking by the table, I saw two more. And I grabbed one, and I slipped around the corner. And my dog is very smart. I didn't have to say, "Hey, Jackie," I just took my hands and went like this, and the dog followed me. My daughter saw me and thought it was cute. She smiled at me. And a few minutes later, my wife appeared around the corner, not smiling at me. My daughter told on me. Thanks, Julie. The oatmeal was still between the dog's teeth and my teeth while she was looking at me. It's like, "Oh, honey, but they're really..." And besides, they're the cheapest dog treats you can get. In a good home, the husband and the wife are partners. In a good home, the decisions are made mutually. In a good home, there's a trust and respect bond that allows people to talk through sensitive and difficult topics and solve problems and be happy with each other, just in each other's presence. In a bad home, that gets out of whack. My wife and I go shopping on Thursday night for groceries, and sometimes while she's in one store, I run over to Home Depot or Lowe's. I had my phone in my pocket, and I was way behind on following up on a lot of my messaging. You know, this church is a blessing to me, and I hope it is to each of you. If it's not, keep working at making it, and it will become. The Bible says in order to have friends, one must show himself friendly. The Bible doesn't say you sit around and wait for somebody else to do. You become what you want. But there's a lot of people that are part of our online family of faith, and sometimes they message me, and I saw one that had been a while since they had. It's like, I need to call that lady. So as I'm walking through the back aisle of Home Depot, I text her and tell her, "I'm available now if you want to talk." She did. I hope she's listening. For the next 45 minutes, I found myself on a broad emotional spectrum, from my heartbreaking to being very righteously indignant and angry over the situation she was describing. A husband, respected in the church, and a vile man at home. Verbally, physically abusive. I want to tell you here today, especially you men, that God is going to hold you especially responsible for creating insecurity where you're supposed to create security. Somebody should have said amen. Your kids should not grow up to model your misbehavior. And they should not have to suffer through the insecurity that you create by taking the most prominent and honorable person, their mother, and treating her like anything less than a queen. Our society's all messed up. It doesn't know what male and female it is, so of course it's hell-bound on making sure there's no such thing as femininity. But I want to say to all of you ladies, young, old, and in between, no matter where you are on the spectrum of physical beauty, the inner beauty of who you are will only grow more beautiful if you recognize you were called to be a daughter of God and you fully manifest and experience the blessings of being a child of the King, which makes you a princess. Take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, where our scripture reading was. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter has an awful lot to say about submission. The submission that is structured in the home is only part. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter verse 1. "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Now listen to me, ladies. You cannot affect the behavior of your husbands if you sink to their behavior. And while you're not to systematize in the home dysfunction and abuse by simply suffering, you are not to return like for like. Ellen White's very clear that while, and the Bible's very clear that while a woman may possess inferiority of physical strength, she may possess superiority of every other dynamic of life. Moral is especially important. If you want to affect the culture of your home, ladies, you must be what Jesus calls you to be, which means he's the Lord of all things, and all other dynamics of proper submission fit in the constructs of right and wrong. But there is to be structure in the home. As I said in my first sermon, 99.999999999% of everything that goes on in that home should be mutually agreed upon by the husband and the wife, if they are both Christians. And the other 0.0000001, if it has to fall to one or the other making the decision, all else being equal, is no doubt to be a final say by the husband whom God will hold accountable. Verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, respect is a big deal for men. Your adornment must not be merely external. The word merely in this version is supplied. We as Seventh-day Adventists do not believe in adorning ourselves physically with jewelry, expensive clothes, and lots of time, money, and effort on our hairdos. We believe that beauty can be on the outside. We understand that beauty on the outside is temporary. Beauty on the inside is eternal. Let it not be the wearing of gold jewelry, the putting on of dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious. It doesn't say in the sight of your husband, it says in the sight of God. Our society tells us everything a man can do, a woman can do better. That's a loser's way to approaching a womanly life. We were made to be complementary to each other, reflecting different elements of who God is. And all of the women that I know that have succeeded in life and at home, and if they wanted to succeed outside the home in other pursuits, which so many do, the most respectable ones don't leave their femininity behind. They understand that it is their strength and they use it wisely. For in this way, verse 5, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Now, verse 6 is probably the most preeminent verse for the women, and verse 7, the most preeminent verse for the men. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you've become her children. If, it's conditional. If you do what is right without being frightened by any fear, and that includes your husband when he goes outside the lines. Now, if a church is not committed to truth, then it's more committed to pretense and presentation. Woe be unto that woman and woe be unto those kids. They're stuck. Every man listening to me in this church today who knows how to be a Christian at home needs to be an accountability person to anybody they know in their life that is abusing their power and creating insecurity where there should be security. If we want a generation of kids who rise up in the noble calling of Christ, they need to see it in the noble calling of their dads, who make the wife the most honored person in the home. I raised 4 kids with my dear wife. 3 boys, 1 girl. And if there was a cardinal sin in our home, it was disrespect to my wife. Ladies, you want to be a daughter of Sarah? And you're going to have to figure out where true north is. And it's not in compliance with a man whose compass has been magnetized by the mismessaging of the world. Men, you want a woman to love you like Sarah loved Abraham? By the way, she gave Abraham good advice and bad advice. The bad advice is have a second wife. He didn't pray about that, did he? The good advice is send Ishmael away. He said, I'll have to pray about that. Yes, the husbands you're married to are not perfect people. They need you. If you want to be the kind of woman that grows more beautiful and more honored throughout all of your life, then figure out where true north is and live by it. And when their husband's off on true north, be wise like Sarah and Esther. Be wise like Abigail with David. Exercise your accountability inside your femininity. Don't do it like the men do it. Men don't want to fight with a woman. And if they have to work something out, they listen a whole lot better when the woman exercises her feminine wisdom. And by the way, in the book of Proverbs, when God inspired Solomon to write about wisdom personified, he used a what? A woman. The scriptures have amazing stories of amazingly powerful women who don't leave off their femininity when their men leave off their Christianity and their wisdom. And when a woman can do what's right without being afraid because she knows who her ultimate submissiveness or submitting to is, she maintains what the Proverbs 31 woman maintains. And by the way, the first attribute in Proverbs 31 is the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. There is nothing like the withering words of a woman when she uses no grace and takes out the butcher knife and does surgery on her husband. And there are no words like the grace-filled words of a woman whose husband has learned to trust in her, who says to her, honey, you're not going to do that, are you? And the question mark lays bare the issue. Reread 1 Samuel 25, ladies. Reread it today. And make sure you maintain the respect factor, which is the heart of attraction, self-respect as well. As Abigail rebuked David over and over and over again, and yet all she elicited in him when it was done, of course he was a man of God, was tremendous awe in such a courageous and kind woman. Verse 7, you husbands, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in understanding. In other words, make it a little bit of a study to recognize and understand her past, her present, the uniqueness of her womanliness, emotionally, mentally, relationally. Put a little effort into this thing. It's not your way or the highway. There'd be no Seventh-day Adventist Christians, especially those in the village church, walking around touting that they're the head of the home. If they're the proper, gracious servant head of the home, everybody will be glad to proclaim it. If they're not, nobody will be glad to hear it. Deal with them as the weaker, since she is a woman. Some of your Bibles say weaker vessel, which commentators believe is a reference to the physicality of usually a smaller framed, less physically strong person. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. She's going to heaven just like you. She will not have any secondary status there. And she's not to have any secondary status here, even though there's structure. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Now I want to talk about hindered prayers. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. If you think God listens all the time to everybody, you're wrong. There is a prayer that God listens to, and that's the prayer of need. He never turns away anybody that's seeking his help. But he does turn away those who have proclaimed his name and abandoned his ways. And he listens for that prayer of penitence. Isaiah chapter 1 starts out with this subtitle, God has had enough. Isaiah 1 verse 10, hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of God, you people of Gomorrah. By the way, this is written to the Israelites. It sounds to me like our dear God is pretty upset over his marriage relationship to his people. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. And by the way, that incense represents prayers ascending to heaven. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I can't endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. They don't go together. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of hearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I won't listen. Your hands are covered in blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Invitation language. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Now, that's the lead up to a verse that you're very familiar with. And I just want to make sure as we look at it that you understand what it says in a variety of versions. That's the lead up to the verse you know as, come now, let us reason together. Could I read it to you in some other versions of the Bible? Just so you get the real spectrum of the environment and God's passion for nothing fake, only the genuine. Come now, the New Revised Standard Version says. Let us argue it out, says the Lord. Come now, let us settle this, says Yahweh, Literal Standard Version. Come now, let's discuss this, God's Word Translation. Come and accuse me, says the Lord. Dewey Reams. Come now and let us debate your case, says the Lord, New American Standard. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. It appears to me that God is quite a-okay with some very difficult and intense dialogues. It appears to me that God actually wades in and says, you know what? It's broken. I'm not closing my eyes. I'm not looking the other way. I'm not acting like things are okay. It's broken, you Sodom and Gomorrahites. If you were to go to Jeremiah chapter 14, you'd hear God say the same thing. If you go to Malachi chapter 2, you'd God say, wouldn't somebody close the doors of the church? And if you were to go to the book of Amos chapter 5, you'd hear God say the exact same thing. And I'd like to go there. Let's go to Amos while we're at it. Let's find that little minor prophet. The book of Amos chapter 5. Chapter 5, right after the book of Joel. Right before the book of Jonah. Says in verse 21, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you are to offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I'll not accept them. I'll not even look at your peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I'll not even listen to the sounds of your harps. And then this amazing and famous verse. But let justice roll down like waters, like rivers, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So here we are. Ellen White will tell us that 1 Peter is speaking about the home life. It's one of the greatest consequences to the children of the Lord. And here is to be your ambition. Not to meet or satisfy the world's criterion. Doesn't matter what they think of you, ladies. We're not to seek the applause of the world, but we're to do the will of our Heavenly Father, to be a blessing to those with whom you are brought in contact, to experience, both of you, a higher and holier experience than you've ever had before. Gentlemen, my one purpose this morning is to tell you this. You mistreat your wife, you're talking to the hand. God's not listening. You want to say you're sorry? His ear's open. You need help? You won't be shamed for it. But hypocrisy is an abomination to God, especially in the home, especially between the husband and the wife. And in this church, we value the genuine Christian experience, and we know it's the best training ground for our leaders because they have wisdom and discretion, love, grace, and patience. And they can be honest with themselves and back up and say, I'm sorry if I need to. Yes, our dear Lord Jesus, when he was about to die, looked down at John and said, I've got one more little bit of business, one more big bit of business. My mother. Yes, they're not as strong physically. And they've got a lot to teach us about a lot of things. But God needs to make sure, ladies, don't lose your femininity. Achieve as God gives you giftedness to achieve, not at the expense of your home. That's a clear biblical message. Not at the expense of your children. You're not your occupation first. Your first calling, which is not an occupation, is the architecting of generations. And men, those of you that are mature know that being the head of anything is responsibility and care and service. It's not prerogative and privilege. And if you can't get that right in home, obviously you're welcome to come and listen. But you won't be utilized here for any kind of leadership. And I want to say again, if you're a man listening to me and you know of an abusive man, it's your duty, men, to start praying about how to have a proper moment of engagement, accountability with that person. Sometimes the respect factor gets out of whack, and men just start running over women. And by the way, women, the first time your husband violates the respect factor, I mean on how he talks to you. I mean on how he makes the decisions. You better stand up because, unfortunately, power that blurs off the road and gets out of line only continues going faster and faster and faster. Do it as a woman. Do it with feminine mystique and grace. Do it with prayer. Church, if we need an army of youth rightly trained, they're going to have to be trained at home. Yeah, Dad, it's your job to have those family worships. You may not be able to do all of them, and Mom may have to do some. That's fine. But you're not to be so busy pursuing your career, your pleasures. Yes, we have Jesus. He created us male and female, and it's the most amazing thing. And I'm looking, praying that the young women in our congregation will have enough understanding of what it means to put God first and know how to relate to others in their proper sphere, that they can have the best marriages possible and we can raise up that army of youth, and that the fruit and the shade that comes from the trees of two lives planted and grown together create nothing but beauty here, nothing but beauty. I want to say again as I end this message, if you need help with this, people, there are people to help. Nothing wrong with acknowledging it. But unacknowledged, it's a terrible problem. And ladies, you're to do what's right if you want to be a daughter of Sarah without being afraid. May God bless you. May we have the happiest homes, the sweetest fellowship, because we got the best leaders, male and female, working it out together, bonded deeply. You're never wasting time when you invest in the marriage. The kids are going to be there. The kids are going to go. But the marriage remains. It's not wasted money or time. May God bless us as we remember the first priority was husband and wife. When you stood at this altar, it was a promise to the husband. It was a promise to the wife. The kids came as a product of that love. The kids are going to move on. But you're supposed to keep growing. And may God bless us all. No male amnesia in this church. You mistreat your wives, God's not listening. He'll listen to an apology. Other than that, you're on your own. Is that a gospel message? It is to any abused wife. It's gospel. You're loved. May God help us all to experience what this song says. Let's stand together. Just before I pray, I'm going to say this. If you've gotten into a bad habit in your marriage, it's probably because it was modeled to you somewhere else. We tend to just take into our futures that which we know from our past. And the other thing I want to say, if you come from an honor culture, typically not a Western culture, this sermon was especially for you. Because in those honor cultures, honor trumps everything. And it means that even if there's problems at home, the husband can never be outed for his terrible behavior. Well, that's not biblical. So there's usually a reason. The only shame is not admitting it. everything else can be fixed. Let's pray. Lord, I believe, Lord, the people listening to this message, most of them have allowed you to make them wholly thine so there could be love at home. Because you bring the spirit of grace and wisdom for how to say things. You bring the power to forgive. You bring the commitment to stick with each other and to solve problems. You bring this, Lord. May we avail ourselves of it. But some people's Christian experience hasn't gone that deep. They're cultural Adventists and they're not Christians. And presentation and pretense marks their days. But the hypocrisy is not hidden from the spouse and it's not hidden from the kids. I pray, Lord, may the men of this church be noble and kind and true, servants, thoughtful, laying down their lives, creating security, not insecurity. And I'm praying, Lord, may everybody flower and blossom because of it. And may the women be respectful and thoughtful. And may the structure of the home be acknowledged as ordered by you, and may it be togetherness almost all the time. And when it can't be, may the structure be acknowledged as God ordained. May all of us, Lord, grow to our full potential, male and female. And bless us as a church, Lord, so that we can have a different culture here and in our homes, and the benefit of the extended family of this church can be the strengthening of every family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. May today be a celebration of love at home, and if it's not, may it be the first steps towards reconciliation, renewal, and hope in the home. This is my prayer now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.